Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jangda and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. The following recording is from the annual Qalam Qiyam that is hosted here in Dallas, Texas, during the last few nights of the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, this year we held the gathering at the Roots Community Space. This annual Qiyam is an opportunity for people all around the Metroplex to come to one place physically and spend the night with our instructors and senior students from the Qalam Seminary and be led in prayers by them and listen to thoughts and reflections from the teachers at Qalam. We also open up this Qiyam to everyone worldwide by streaming it live over the internet. Alhamdulillah, this year we were able to record the talks, and so we are very happy to bring you these recordings in the form of a podcast so that inshallah you can listen to them, reflect upon them, and share them with family and friends. And lastly and finally, if you have benefited from Qalam's work, if you appreciate what we are doing at Qalam, then please go to supportqalam.com and be a part of the solution. Invest into your akhirah and have a share in sadaqah jariyah, a perpetual good, a continuous effort, inshallah, that will continue to benefit people for generations to come and will continue to fill your book of deeds till the day of judgment. Jazakumullahu khairan. Listen to the podcast. I hope and pray that it's a source of benefit. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So inshallah, before I get right into it, it's just a part of etiquette and it's good manners to always acknowledge the presence of, you know, people of knowledge and leadership of the community. And a lot of times when we're lucky, as a community, we have leaders who are very humble. And they come and they quietly sit in the back. So I just wanted to, for, you know, the sake of my own etiquette, my own manners, I wanted to acknowledge Sheikh Mubin Kamani is here with us. He's a scholar who lives here in the Dallas area. He serves the community in Frisco. And he is also the greatest haji of all time. All right? That's an inside joke. Anyways, I just wanted to acknowledge and Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for coming, and I apologize. So I wanted to start off by sharing a little story with y'all. So as Ustad very adequately and very appropriately mentioned, that we'll be talking about practical spirituality. And one of the things that I personally have been a bit something I've been very passionate about, almost borderline obsessed with, is that a lot of times we fixate onto certain words or terms, symbols, ideas, and we don't really understand what they mean. And this is very evident for us as Muslims, particularly because our religion, even though it functions and it is practical and it works no matter what language you speak, what culture you come from, it completely works. However, that being said, it is a fact. It is the fact of the matter that our religion is translated over from Arabic. Our religion is translated from Arabic. Now, that doesn't necessarily imply that Islam is an Arab religion, because being Arab is a race. It's an ethnicity. It has nothing to do with that. Okay? Nor does it necessarily imply that there is some superiority or there is some more intuitiveness. If you are Arab, you're more Muslim, right? 13% of the world of the Muslims in the world are actually Arab. So that doesn't necessarily mean that either, right? But God revealed His word, scripture, the Quran, in the Arabic language, all right? And the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, spoke the Arabic language. So khayr al-hadi, hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we often say, the best of guidance comes from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's in Arabic. So our religion does end up getting translated over from Arabic. Now what happens when you do that is that you have an Arabic word that you are told is very important. So you have a word like, Ustad is going to talk about this in just a bit, taqwa. That's an Arabic word. And a lot of folks here, I'll ask you, what does the word taqwa mean? How would you translate taqwa? God consciousness. That's a very common one. Fear of God, so on and so forth. But God consciousness. But if what does that actually mean, though? Right? To be conscious of God. Yes, thank you. Right? But what does that mean? Tawbah. Mufti Kamani is going to be here later today, and he's going to talk about Tawbah. Okay? What's the common translation for Tawbah?
Repentance.
Repentance. Big old word. What does that actually mean? So we sometimes take an English word, and it also just it's just as cryptic as the Arabic word was, and we don't really actually understand what it means. We can't dissect it. So I became particularly kind of obsessed with this 7-8 years ago, and I said, we have to do a better job of understanding and defining for ourselves what these concepts are, what these words actually mean. So spirituality, all right, is one of those kind of words. What does that actually mean? And so one of the phrases and one of the topics that we speak on or try to understand and explain to others and talk about quite often is practical spirituality. So in the light of, or in the effort to explain or to better understand practical spirituality, I wanted to start off by sharing a little story. It's a story from the life of the Prophet ﷺ, from the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And it's narrated by a great companion of the Prophet ﷺ. His name is Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Talha ibn Ubaidillah. He is amongst the 10 whom the Prophet promised paradise to. There were 10 people that the Prophet ﷺ said, I saw y'all entering paradise. Congratulations, you're going to Jannah. In this world, in this life, in this world, he's one of them. And the Prophet ﷺ also said that إِنَّ لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ حَوَارِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ, that every prophet will have like bodyguards, will have like a posse, will have a squad in paradise. And the Prophet ﷺ said, my hawari, my guys that are going to roll with me wherever I go in paradise are Talha and Zubair. So he's a very illustrious man. He says that there's a tribe called Bali. And two individuals, two men from this tribe of Bali, they came to Medina to visit the Prophet ﷺ. And they, وَكَانَ إِسْلَامُهُمَا جَمِيعًا. And they both became Muslim together at the same time. They both accepted Islam together. One of them, فَكَانَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَشَدُّ إِجْتِهَادًا مِنَ الْآخَرِ. One of them was a little bit more of an adventurous, kind of like a, you know, brave, courageous type than the other was. One was a little bit more of a warrior than the other guy was. So what ended up happening was, about a year after they became Muslim, there was one of the expeditions, battles, campaigns of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. He went out in that battle. He ended up losing his life. He ended up dying in that battle, which is called a martyr, shaheed. And the reward of a shaheed is great. Somebody who gives their life for the sake of the religion, somebody who gives their life defending others, the reward is great of that person. Before a drop of that person's blood hits the ground, before his body hits the dirt, all of his sins are forgiven. And he's granted immediate entry into paradise. So the first one went out to battle and died as a martyr, as a shaheed. And now you can imagine the reward. The other guy didn't go to battle. He lived a year longer. And a year later, after his buddy died in battle, this other guy just got sick and died at home. Okay? Talha says, after we prayed his funeral, his janazah, and we buried him, that night, I saw a dream. I saw a dream. And in my dream, he says that, فَرَأَيْتُ فِي الْمَنَامِ بَيْنَ أَنَا عِنْدَ بَابِ الْجَنَّةِ, I was standing near the gate of paradise, إِذْ أَنَا بِهِمَا, and I saw both of them. فَخَرَجَ خَارِجٌ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ, and one of the gatekeepers of paradise, one of the angels, came out of paradise, فَأَذِنَ لِلَّذِي تُوُفِّيَا الْآخِرْ مِنْهُمَا. And then he called in the one who died later. The guy who died on his bed. Not the guy who died in battle. The second guy. He called him and he said, please, if you could follow me, I'd like to escort you into paradise. And he took him in. A little while later, ثُمَّ خَرَجَ, then the angel came back out. فَأَذِنَ لِلَّذِي اسْتُشْهِدَ. Then he called the guy who had died in battle. And he said, if you could please, come with me. And then he took him into paradise. ثُمَّ رَجَعَ إِلَيَّ فَقَالَ. And then he came back out, and I was still standing out there at the gate of paradise, and I was like, me? And he said, اِرْجِعْ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ يَأْنِي لَكَ بَعْدٍ. He says, go away, it's not your time yet. Go away, because it's not your time yet. So he says, I woke up. I went to the Prophet ﷺ that morning, and I narrated the dream to him. And I was shocked, I was bewildered by it, that how could a guy who made the ultimate sacrifice go to paradise later? And the guy who lived just an ordinary life, woke up every morning, prayed, put his shoes on, went to work, came back home, spent time at home, ate his supper, went to the masjid, prayed, made dua, came home, slept in his bed, and lived like that for a whole year, and then eventually got sick and died at home. How can he go to paradise before somebody who makes such an unbelievable sacrifice, goes out in such a blaze of glory? How can this ordinary dude go to paradise first? I couldn't process it. And when I narrated the dream to the Prophet ﷺ, everybody else there was shocked as well. They were like, really? Is that what you saw? And so the whole room, everybody was just shocked. And then we turned to the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, مِنْ أَيِّ ذَلِكَ تَعْجَبُونَ. Why are y'all so shocked? Why are y'all so shocked? فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. We said, O Messenger of God, هَذَا كَانَ أَشَدُ الرَّجُلَيْنِ اجْتِهَادًا ثُمَّ اسْتُشْهِدَ وَدَخَلَ هَذَا الْآخِرَ الْجَنَّةَ قَبْلَهُ. This other guy made the ultimate sacrifice and that ordinary dude goes to paradise before he does. فَقَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And then the Prophet ﷺ imparted guidance and wisdom. And he said, أَلَيْسَ قَدْ مَكَثَ هَذَا بَعْدَهُ سَنَةً. Did he not live for a year longer than the other guy did? We said, بَلَى. Yep, yes, of course. قَالَ وَأَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ فَصَامَ. And he got one more Ramadan, and he fasted throughout a whole another extra Ramadan, one more Ramadan than the other guy did? We said, yeah. وَصَلَّى كَذَا وَكَذَا مِنْ سَجَّةٍ فِي السَّنَةِ. And he prayed this many more prayers and salah and worship and du'as and Qur'an and dhikr and charity and good deeds than the other guy did for a whole year. And we all said, Bala ya Rasulullah, of course, O Messenger of God, you are correct. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا أَبْعَدْ مِمَّا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Living faithfully, trying to be a good person day in, day out, makes such a huge distance that the difference between the spirituality and the reward of these two people is like the distance between the heavens and the earth, the sky to the ground. That's the difference between these two. By just living faithfully for one more year. Now this gives you a lot to chew on. Because a lot of times, when I say spirituality, our mind immediately goes to extraordinary feats, remarkable things. He stood on one foot and read the whole Quran in one rak'ah and then died. Right? Like, he did sajda for 8 hours and died. Right? Like, everybody just dies. Right? Like, we're always obsessed, right? He gave $18 million, right? And so we're always fascinated by the extraordinary deed, the extraordinary act. And that's a lot of that's embedded within our nature as human beings, all right? But it's a lot of times the ordinary, the day-to-day, the little things. The Prophet ﷺ, there's interesting, you know, his phrasing. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Never, ever underestimate even the smallest bit of kindness. The smallest little good deed. And on the flip side, in English, we have an interesting expression where they say, the devil is in the details. The devil is in the details. The Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُ الْأَعْمَالِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The best of deeds are those that are done consistently, even if they are minuscule. Versus having one giant moment of glory and then basically fizzling out. That has less value than the one who chips away consistently. So that's the first thing that I wanted to present here. The first idea I wanted to kind of deconstruct here is that that type of consistency, regularity, an overall day-to-day approach to one's spirituality is so much more beneficial and blessed than just looking for some extraordinary moment, some great grand feat. And the Qur'an further now will break this down for us and deconstruct this for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is actually known to the scholars of the Qur'an. They refer to this verse as one of the foundational verses of the entire Qur'an. So when it comes to the Qur'an, right, there are certain themes and topics. The most important of those themes and topics, of course, is faith, belief, spirituality. Because that's the core of everything. That's at the heart of all of it. And so when it comes to the theme of faith and belief and spirituality, there are certain verses in the Qur'an which are known as, you know, that are the primary verses on that subject. This is one of those verses. It is from Surah number 2, chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah. Ayah, verse number 177. The scholars of the Qur'an refer to this as Ayatul Birr, which means the verse of piety. The verse that talks about piety, being pious. That's another one of those things. Birr means to be pious. What does that actually mean though for me on a practical level? Because again, think about all the, you know, kind of like images of piety that we've kind of created. Right? A tasbih, like something to do your dhikr on that's like big enough to wear around your neck. Right? A white thobe.
You have to call me out like that.
Giant beard, humongous turban, right? You know, so it's just, there's these symbols of piety and we kind of become obsessed with those symbols. But this verse defines it. And look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse. It's so real. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes, cut straight to the core of the matter. He says, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ. Wow. Allah starts by saying, let me tell you what piety is not. He says, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبِلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Piety is not to turn your face to the east or the west. Meaning regardless of where you're at. If you're in the east, you're facing west. If you're in the west, you're facing east. Piety is not just turning your face to the east and the west. Meaning piety is not just, you know, external constructs. Physical forms. Looking a particular way. Doing only outwardly certain actions and deeds. That's not piety, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبْلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let me tell you what piety actually is. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. It is to believe in Allah. It's to actually have faith. To actually think about Allah. To believe in Allah. To think about Allah. That when you wake up in the morning, you thank Allah for giving you another day. Before you take a drink of water, you actually say Bismillah. When you drink that water at iftar time and you feel good and relieved, you actually say Alhamdulillah. Thank you God. Like to actually think of Allah, to believe in Allah, to be connected to Allah. مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And to believe that there is a life after death. That there is a place where I have to answer for how I lived my life. I will be held accountable no matter how much power I had. No matter what I thought I could get away with in this world. There's a place where I gotta answer for the way I lived my life. The choices I made. How I treated people. وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. And it's actually believed that there are the angels of God, and God revealed His book, and there are the prophets of God, the prophets of Allah. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ. And to give generously, to spend your wealth, in spite of how attached you are to your wealth, how attached you are to your things, to your money, to your materials, in spite of that, you're willing to give generously to your family members. Like people in your life. You give to them, you share with them, you spend on them. You're generous with them, you're kind with them. وَالْيَتَامَى. And orphans. You help those who are less fortunate. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. Those who are homeless, who have nothing to eat. You're willing to feed them. وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ. Those who might be lost. وَالسَّائِلِينَ. Those who are asking and begging. Those who are reaching out, who are pleading, please help us, feed us. You're willing to take a step back in your own luxury. You're willing to put off what you were looking forward to in order to help people less fortunate than yourselves. This is piety. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. Those who are trapped in slavery. You're willing to spend your money, your influence, your time, your energy, your talents, your abilities. Think about where I spend all of that right now. All my money, all my talent, all my time, all my energy, all my resources, all my influence goes to just improving my own quality of life. It goes to continue to just put me in a much more comfortable place. I'm just all about me. But this person has decided like, no. God has blessed me. I can talk to people. I got a good job. I got some money. I have some time, I have some ability, I have some energy. I'm now going to use it to help other people. Particularly those who are struggling the most. وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ. And then after talking about all of that, God says, and you also establish prayer and you give charity. Establishing prayer is very important. I don't want anyone to walk away from this discussion thinking, I'm saying that prayer is not important. No, God talks about prayer. But at the same time, He talked about doing good in the world that you live around you, living an ethical lifestyle, caring about other people, having a daily good deed that you do, trying to make a difference in the world every single day. That is what ultimately defines your piety, your spirituality. That's what makes you a better person. And then also establishing prayer. But there's a rule, and I'm going to ask everyone this right now. There's a rule when it comes to study of the Qur'an. You know, when I'm talking and I mention like a list of things, the sequence in which I mention them might not be relevant. But sequence in the Qur'an is always, it is not coincidental, it is consequential. Sequence in the Qur'an is consequential. It matters. God doesn't just speak randomly. Everything Allah says is precise, divine. Intended, deliberate, purposeful, meaningful. And so the fact that he started off by saying that piety is doing good in the world around you and then establishing prayers, there's a reason for that. And one of the very fascinating reasons that the scholars mention that they enlighten us with is because many people will pray. That's like an obvious thought. You want to be a good Muslim? Pray 5 times a day. That occurs to you right away. But when it comes to like helping people around you, doing good in the world, that's something we tend to overlook. That is something that is tragically, most unfortunately, very, very easily overlooked. So God mentioned it first to highlight it. And the second reason, and I want everyone to listen very carefully, because if you do not listen carefully, you can misconstrue what I'm about to say. In the collection of Bukhari, which is like the most authentic collection of hadith, there are two narrations, two hadiths, about two separate individuals. And they're fascinating. The first one talks about a person who was living a very, very sinful life. One of the versions of the narration actually mentions that it was a prostitute. And this prostitute came across a thirsty animal, a dog that was thirsty. Out, you know, on a hot day in an open area. And there was a well, and the dog came and just lied down next to the well. Because it was thirsty, it could sense the water, but it couldn't access the water. And this prostitute stumbles upon this animal, this creature in this situation, and feels such sympathy for the animal and kindness that she takes off her shoe. She doesn't have a bucket or anything. There's a string, there's a rope that is hanging there, but there's no bucket. So she takes off her shoe, like her sock, a boot, and she ties it somehow to the rope and lowers it down into the water and then pulls it up and gets some water in it and then puts it down there in front of the animal so the animal can drink the water. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, because of that act of kindness, showing such kindness to one of God's creatures, whom God loves dearly, Allah forgave all of her sins and entered her into paradise. And then the second story, also in Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, there was a woman who used to fast every day and worship every night, all night, every night. Nonstop. She used to fast every day, pray all day, worship all night. And she had a cat. And she got, the cat was, you know, kind of bothering her. It's not a moment for levity, but I just remembered something funny. I saw online, it said that your dog treats you like, if you have a dog, he treats you like you're Jesus. And if you have a cat, it treats you like you're its intern. Which is very true. Very, very true. Anyways, middle of the night, everybody. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started again, inshallah. Everybody just try to find a little spot or kind of stand along the walls, inshallah, and we'll figure something out. All right. So, as I was mentioning, that the hadith in Bukhari, right? So the one narration's talking about a person who lived a very, very sinful life, but then showed an act of kindness to a dog and was forgiven and entered into paradise because of that. On the flip side, I was talking about this woman who used to fast every day and worship all night, every night, and had a cat. And the cat was obviously kind of coming and, you know, kind of bothering her, wanting food, wanting this, wanting that. And so she got annoyed with the cat. She got annoyed with the cat, and so she just kind of like locked the cat in the cupboard. Locked the cat in the closet. And then just kind of forgot about the cat. And then forgot about the cat. And what ended up happening was the cat ended up dying locked up in that cupboard. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished that woman and put her in the fire of hell for not having kindness towards God's creation, a helpless creature. And so, because of this, I want to mention something. I was talking about the idea that in this verse where God is defining piety, He talks about doing good and then being good in the world around you, and then He talks about prayer. And the thing I was going to mention, I said pay attention because you can misconstrue this if you don't listen carefully, is that if somebody does all their prayers but does not, ignores all the bad happening around them and does not do any good in the world around them, and is actually part of the problem, is negligent to all the suffering around them, that won't save the person. That won't save that person. Their prayers won't help them. But on the flip side, if someone had some shortcomings in their prayers, wasn't always perfect, but they always practiced kindness. They did as much good as they could in the world around them. That kindness and that good could make up for the deficiency in their prayers, and Allah will so forgive that person. And so there's a profound wisdom to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning what He mentions and how He mentions it. So, to move forward, وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ, and gives charity, and then Allah goes right back to what? وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَهَدُوا. When you've given your word to somebody, when you've made a promise to someone, you keep your promise. You keep your word. That's piety. Be honest. Have integrity. Integrity is piety. You worship all day long, but then you lie and you cheat. That's not piety. Not by any definition of the word. You know, many people here might kind of have like some qualms about this. And even if you don't, you definitely know people who have qualms and concerns and issues about this. And that is the idea that a lot of people are very kind of allergic to and have a very have an aversion to religiousness and piety and spirituality and worship and religious culture and religious practice. Why? Because they've been scarred by seeing someone who looks the right way, says all the right things, knows all the right words, does all these outward acts of religion, but then it's just a terrible person. They lie and they cheat. They stab you in the back. They're unethical in their business. They lack integrity in their personal lives. They're just, it's a miserable human being. And they make everyone around them miserable. People regret knowing them. When the Prophet ﷺ said, "Alladhina idha dhukirallahu wajilat qulubuhum." And Allah, in fact, the Prophet ﷺ said that look for people that when you are around them, they remind you of Allah. They make you remember God. Their presence enlightens you. It lifts you up. Not brings you down. They tear you down and say, "Allahu Akbar." And a lot of people, due to that, have a bad taste in their mouth when it comes to deen and religion and Islam and practice and spirituality. But understand, that person, there's something wrong with that person, but our religion ain't broke. Because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Piety is integrity. وَالْمُفُونَ بِعَدِمِ دَعَدُوا وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ. And they practice patience in all situations. In war, in conflict, in starvation, in difficult situations. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. These are truthful people. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. And these are people who are conscious of God. These are people who have taqwa, which Ustad Murphy will tell you more about. So that's the idea that I wanted to present here today. I wanted to talk about this idea of practical spirituality. That it's the little things. It's the small acts of goodness and kindness every day. And yes, pray. And fast in Ramadan. And read some Qur'an. But not at the expense of being a good ethical human being. But bring the two together. Demonstrate to yourself. Prove to yourself. Offer it to Allah. And then demonstrate to all of humanity how beautiful Islam is. How it is a synthesis of worship and devotion to God and being a force of good in this world. And if moving on from the month of Ramadan, if that's what we can latch on to, that's what we can hold on to, that's what we can attain, is this conviction in being good. Where we will worship and we will pray 5 times a day, but we're going to be a source of goodness in the world. We're going to start to display kindness. We're going to be good to our families. We're going to fulfill the rights of the people that God put in our lives. They are a blessing. They are a part of your rizq, your sustenance, that Allah gave you people in your life. Family and friends. We're going to try to do good in the community that we live in the society that we are a part of, the world that Allah has put us in. We're going to practice honesty and integrity in our dealings and our business. We're going to be ethical in the financial choices, decisions, the lifestyle decisions and choices that we make. And if we can get that, if we can latch on to that, then inshallah going forward, after the month of Ramadan is done, hopefully we can fit in that category that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls pious. Why? Because what's the outcome? إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. The pious people will live in eternal enjoyment and pleasure in the shade of the throne of God. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a place there. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.